reiterate, the word that I got this morning was freedom. And kept saying to the Lord, what do you want? Where do you want this? And there was no press of any particular scripture except one. And I will read to you the verse, and then we're going to back it up a little bit. It's John chapter 5, verse 39. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Verse 40. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Yeah. In other words, religious folks can really be in the Word, and they can know the Word and quote the Word and use it even towards God and make God into a Santa Claus. In other words, put out your list, declare what the Word says, and it's all from the brain or from the soul. Here's the danger. You don't know Him. If you don't know the one who wrote the Word, it's time for you to get to know the one who wrote it. And the one who wrote it is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will show you who the real author of the book is. My brother last week shared about Revelation chapter 1. Jesus, visible, if you take time. It's not about end times, it's about Him. And people use all these tools for the wrong reason, and they end up putting the law into people's hearts, creating fear tactics. And I'm not blaming anybody. That's not the game. And Jesus wasn't into the game of going to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or all the leaders of His day and, you know, giving them a real tongue lashing. Although sometimes they accused Him and He responded. And He would let them know that they were whitewashed tombstones. They had no life in them. Did you ever go to a cemetery and see a lot of life? It's not filled with life, it's filled with memories. God wants us to be free, to be ourselves. He sent Jesus for one purpose, and one purpose only, that we would be able to see our Heavenly Father with great love. When I got to accept Him as Lord, I didn't understand what I was doing. I was 27 years old. First time I picked up a Bible, I was 8. That was at, 27. And to be very honest with you, I became a Pharisee. I was very fair, you see. Then I became a Sadducee. I seduced anybody I could. To get them into the kingdom because it was the thing to do. But I didn't know Him. I had no real relationship with the one who wrote the book, namely the Holy Ghost. I can remember being angry and saying to the priest, look, there's got to be more. And he looked at me. Well, he says, there's that Crisio stuff. Remember the Crisio movement? That Crisio stuff. He said, we don't need that. I had heard, but I had not tasted. Then another one came along and they said, well, what about that marriage encounter stuff? Our marriage was already perfect, according to some people, so why go to bother anybody or irritate what's already perfect? Are you seeing the closed doors? The door's closed. with the officials and the people that I was surrounded by. I remember some people going to marriage encounter, coming back, and they were totally filled with God's love, and I was jealous. Yeah, my buddy in Connecticut, him and his wife, they went to this marriage encounter, and they came back so full of life. And I remember coming to the pastor in Three Rivers, saying, you know, I would love to be able to see if we had marriage encounter here. Did I tell you I was a seducee? I could seduce anybody I could. Yeah, that was a, you know, pretty good thing. I knew how to do that. Come on, guys, you know how to seduce women. Yes. Don't be so naive. You didn't get married thinking about her in your dreams. You had to talk to her, right? Bob? Yes. Okay, so you found a way to just get a little word in there, right? Oh, she's shaking her head. You're not acknowledging anything. Come on, Peggy. Did he seduce you? Yep. Thank you. Hallelujah for Bob. That's your birthday present, kid. All teasing aside, we know and we do according to what we understand. The next level came. My buddy moved from California, and the rest is history on that. And the Holy Ghost came into my life. Well, now the hunger for knowing him began. And the very few words, actually four syllables that came out of my mouth when the Holy Ghost came on me, were Abba Da'e. And I knew the interpretation. Yet, I thought for sure it can't be God, so I shut up. I shut it all down for a few weeks. Until I learned that it was the enemy, you know, shutting me down, because I knew what it meant. It meant Daddy loves me. Well, now that was totally foreign. Daddy loves me. That's what was coming out of my mouth. Abba Da'e. Now, why?
Because I needed to know Papa so I could get a fullness of the truth by his Spirit. And his Spirit would reveal the one who was the whole purpose of my life. Jesus himself.
Did I know him? Well, I knew about him. Did I understand him? Nope. Was I hungry for more? Yes.
I hungered so much that I went to the pastor again after being filled with the Holy Ghost.
And said, but see, God had put me. How many know God knows how to put you in a position of authority?
When you need authority, he'll put you there. A year and a half before, I was voted in as the president of the executive board of St. Anne's Church. And the people who put me there were thinking that they were putting me there so that they could manipulate me and use me because I used to work for them.
You see, God's Holy Ghost, that he is so sneaky. He put me in a place where I would be listened to by the entire board, and they would be able to bow their knee because I was the president of the whole board. And when I spoke about having a time where we would be able to use a little corner of the church for a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night, guess what? It was a shoo-in. And the pastor had to bow. He said, well, you can use the down cellar. You know, use the cellar. So we began where? In a cave. When they needed it for bingo, they cast us out and put somebody else there. And the rest is history, and I'm not going there. What I'm trying to tell you is God had a plan.
Yes, he did.
And he used it, and hundreds not only were healed, but were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they got to know Jesus. They got to know him. Did they stay with him? Some did. Some didn't. And it's no different than when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Only one came back. Right, Dee?
Yeah.
You know, freedom to obey him. Freedom to listen to what he wants you to do. Freedom to obey and then to lay down your life where he tells you to. You'll create all kinds of havoc for those around you. How many have ever irritated a few?
A few?
How many are in irritation right now? Thank you. You will be. Jesus was an irritation to the Jews. Oh, he shows up again. We're going to crucify him. We're going to arrest him. We're going to take care of him. But you can't do it until Papa says, go ahead. You can't do it. That wall of fire last week, signifying we are protected. Nobody's going to get in until God says, oh, we're going to open a door. We'll let him in. Why isn't this place full? If it was, some people would be focused on the people instead of on the one that's loving him and the one that's loving them. And who loved you first? Verse 31, John chapter 5, verse 31. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave you light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have a testimony weightier than that of John, for the very works that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. So the evidence of your life shows who you belong to. Close your eyes. Say, the evidence of my life,
the evidence of my life
shows whom I belong to.
Shows whom I belong.
If there's no evidence,
if there's no evidence,
there's no Jesus.
There's no Jesus.
If there's no irritation around me, that means there's no Pharisees.
That means there's no Pharisees.
And no Sadducees.
And no Sadducees.
Trying to kill me.
Trying to kill me.
If there is some,
if there is some,
it proves that I'm doing something that God is happy with.
It says by the fruits.
I'll be known.
I'll be known.
Am I an irritation?
Am I an irritation?
Yeah. To the unbelievers. Am I an irritation to the unbelievers? You know, when the light gets so bright in you, the irritations increase. But the peace that surpasses understanding flows through you, and then it turns into jealousy. And when it turns into jealousy, they're going to be knocking on your door saying, how come you didn't retaliate like everyone else? How come I still feel love coming from you instead of anger? Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit are what? Compassion and mercy and grace when they don't deserve it. Holy favor unto him. It's what your job is to do. As I give favor to those that don't belong to him, I'm giving them a way of seeing the light in me. 37. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. For you do not believe the one he sent. It's no different with you. You are a sent one. You're going to work in a place where darkness resides.
Yes.
Come on. You're not all dead.
Yes.
Okay? How many know when you walk in that light has entered the room?
That's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And when you walk in, you are representing whom?
Him.
Okay? And sometimes you wonder, I want an easy day today. Oh, that's a bad prayer. It's all about you, isn't it? You want an easy day? Stay home. Disobey. But when you go to work, and you irritate the darkness, guess what? What's happening when you're doing what God called you to do?
You're sharing his love.
The light of Christ is manifesting in the place of work, in the place of what? Grocery shopping?
Anywhere.
Wherever you are.
Anywhere.
I know a couple of girls who went out the other day and they were told that they were full of joy. And they were doing absolutely nothing out of the ordinary, just doing a little shopping. Ah, I love it.
Can I just share something?
Not just yet. I want to go back to 37. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. Now, how can I have the word dwelling in me if I rely on never looking at the gospel? By the Holy Ghost. Peter couldn't read or write, but he had the Holy Spirit in him. It's not your education that's going to make you valuable in the eyes of the world. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you revealing Christ from your inner man, touching wherever you go, and enlightening wherever you go, and irritating, definitely, the darkness. Verse 38. Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. So it starts with believing that Jesus is the one that the Father sent. Then he goes on, you diligently study the scriptures because you think, so they're all in their what? In their minds, that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. That, can you imagine what kind of pill that is for a real politician? I have come in my Father's name, and yet you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. False teachers, false preachers, false religious folks, they're all going to be what? Acceptable to one another, because they're from the same source. They're relying on mental power, soulish power. And you know what? It does have power. It's very, very effective. And it will seduce many. Praise God, not you. 44. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? When the Lord pressed me to talk about freedom, I kept saying, God, it would be nice if there was a concordance to talk about all the freedoms. And he kept pushing me back to this scripture. Knowing him is the quickest way to freedom. Relying on the Holy Ghost and reminding the Holy Spirit on a regular basis, I need to hear from you. Jesus, I need to know more about you. That's your cry, Maria.
It still is.
And don't stop. I want to know your love. I want to taste your goodness. I want to do all these things because I love you.
Amen.
But it's also because he loved you and me first.
Amen.
Do you think for one moment that he had no plan for my life? His plan for my life was set up before I was born. Close your eyes right now. Say, His plan.
His plan.
For my life.
Was a setup.
Before I was born. He knew me.
Before I entered.
My mother's womb. He had an awesome plan for me. And getting to know all about it. Is a lot more fun.
If I simply trust Him.
That's my love for Him. Because He loved me from the beginning. Hallelujah. That brings freedom. That says, no matter what I do, it'll all come out in the wash. No matter which mistakes I make, He'll turn it into a miracle just for me.
Amen.
He will turn it into a miracle because He loves me and He cares about what's happening to me. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, when will this test be over? Well, believe it or not, a test is designed for endurance.
For our own good.
I like that one. For our own good.
Yes.
But we do not like the test. How many like to be tested? Okay. But you can't get to the victory. And you know, there's another play on words. If you don't have a test, you can't have a testimony. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to be tested in reality, yet it's part of what God does. And today, as I was responding to some of this, I kept saying, but God, You knew all along where to put me, how to prepare me, how to give me these graces that You gave me. I told You about my plumbing experience back in 77 and how it helped me this past week. Why? Because I haven't lost my love. And I haven't forgotten His love for me. You see, when you believe that you are the only one that's always been rejected, how can you possibly believe that His love for you will set you free? Your belief in who you are and how rejected you've been is going to hold you captive and hold you into the status of fear. And fear of that rejection and the consistency of that pattern will get you so bound that you'll get depressed. I need to hear an amen.
Amen.
When you get depressed, there's nothing worth living. And that's exactly where darkness wants you to reside. But the light will press you. The Holy Spirit will press you. Get to know the one who loves you.
Amen.
Get to know Him.
Amen.
And you won't be accused. And you know how to do that? Cry out, Lord Jesus, I want to know You. Every one of you, close your eyes. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
If I failed along the way,
the blood
You shed on that cross
washes every sin away.
Come.
Reveal Yourself to me
in a deeper way than ever before.
Holy Spirit, I want to know You
in a deeper way as well.
So that I can learn
about Christ, the Anointed One
that was sent to the cross.
To set me free.
Keep me.
And hold me close.
And surround me.
Until I am completed.
With the perfect plan You have.
Just for me.
Thank You for the freedom.
To be myself.
Every day.
Without fear.
Without torment.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.
It's all I got.